Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing? Roscoe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, all right. Well, anyway, how you guys doing? Thursday, February 26th, we're going to do our second part of the baseball show, talk a little National League baseball, maybe talk about the color of the dress or the llamas. What do you want to start off with, Roscoe, llama or dress?
Let's start off with the dress.
Okay, what about the dress? Elaborate.
What colors do you see, white and gold or black and blue?
I see white and gold because that's the color of the dress.
Same.
I know slogan and some other people. Yeah.
I see white and gold. I don't know. I think it has to do with eye color. I'm not sure.
With eye color? Maybe. I see white and gold.
I see white and gold also.
All right. How about those llamas? You like those llamas? Your friend, Some of our friends don't like the llamas. I'm a big llama fan. Those llamas really impressed me today. Herm Edwards did a good review of it.
I'm a big llama fan also. I think
Okay.
I think the Buccaneers would get more out of the llamas instead of Jameis Winston.
You think the llamas hold more value than Jameis, number one of all?
Yeah. I think they have a better off the field character than Jameis Winston.
Do you think llamas would steal crab legs?
I think they would trade some hay for the crab legs. I don't think they would pay for it. Yeah, I think they would pay in hay.
Hay? Yeah, I could see that. I don't think llamas like crab legs. You ready to talk some basketball? I'm sure you're ready to talk some NL Central, Roscoe.
I'm ready to talk anything with baseball.
Padres talk.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
really
Padres talk. That's what we're good at.
All right, well, we'll start off, and I'll start off with the NL West, and we'll just see how if we come a little similar on how we predicted it to finish. We'll start with the NL West. I think this year is going to finish with the Dodgers coming in first, the Giants in second, Padres in third, Colorado in fourth, and Arizona in fifth. What do you have out the NL West?
I have the Dodgers in first, the Giants in second like you, Padres in third, but I have the Diamondbacks in fourth and the Rockies in fifth.
I guess we'll start low, since we have the same top three. Do you see a big difference in the Rockies and the Diamondbacks? Do you think they can compete for that division, or do you think they're just going to have rebuilding year?
I don't think either will compete for the division. I think both will have a rebuilding year. The Rockies are more injury-prone, so that's why I have them finishing last. And
okay.
I expect I want to see what Yasmani Tomas does for the Diamondbacks. And, I mean, Goldschmidt we know is going to be a beast. So I'm just a bigger fan, I guess you could say, or have more faith in the Diamondbacks instead of the Rockies.
Yeah, they're a gritty team, but I picked the Rockies fourth because I think they're going to have injury problems again. But, I mean, a completely healthy team, they could compete for that division. The only thing that they lack is pitching. I mean, look at their outfield alone. Carlos Gonzalez, Charlie Blackman, and Corey Dickerson. That's a hell of an outfield if they can stay healthy. Plus, you got Arenado and Tulowitzki. I mean, like, those five right there could honestly could be one of the best offenses in the league, combined with Justin Morneau at first. But their pitching staff is horrendous. And, I mean, granted, that is one of the worst ballparks to pitch in. They got Jorge De La Rosa, Kyle Kendrick, Jordan Lyles, Tyler Matzik, Chacon, I believe. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Shasheen.
Yeah, well,
something like that.
Their pitching isn't there. I mean, granted, what pitcher would want to go pitch in Colorado? They haven't had a lot of high name starting pitchers. So I just don't see them competing, mainly because of their starting pitching. I think their offense will always be really solid if they're healthy. Arizona, I like Arizona's grit. They're a young team. Chris Owings, Yasmani Tomas, probably going to get some third base time. Trumbo in the outfield with Ender and Inkiniarte, who I thought was going to be one of my sleeper guys, with A.J. Pollock, who you can't forget, and obviously Goldschmidt. They have a solid core, but their pitching's a question, too, because you think of who they got starting. They got their rotation, for the most part, is going to be I think their opening day guy is they don't even have an opening day starter. I think it's going to be Josh Colminter. Archie Bradley is going to be a big consideration. I know we spoke about that yesterday. Patrick Corbin's coming back, and that's really all they have to look forward to right now. They got Robbie De La Rosa in the trade with Boston. So, I mean, their pitching rotation is going to be shaky.
And they also have Jeremy Ellickson.
But remember, Ellickson's coming off another Tommy John, I believe. So that's always something that you got to think of. And Trevor Cahill, who is my favorite guy to pick against to beat the streak. So always pick against Cahill. That's my rule. Yeah, we both picked the Padres to finish third. Since we're such Padres experts, what do you like about the Padres and what don't you like?
Well, I mean, I like how they made the off-season moves, but when you're building a team on paper, it's going to look good. But, I mean, honestly, I think they're going to be the biggest bust in baseball, not only the NL. I think it's going to take time for them to get a lineup set where they're going to be happy with it. I like what they tried to do by building a team, but, I mean, let's be honest, we've seen these power teams on paper not work out, you know, in the past, so I don't know why this team would be any different.
So you picked them as your bus team?
Yeah.
Well, coincidentally, I picked them as a bus team as well. Their lineup's going to be revolved around their 3-5 hole. It's going to be based off of how Kemp Upton and Yonder Alonso produce. And I just think outside of those guys, I mean, they're a wild card. They're most likely going to have Solarte starting off the year at third. And he did well last year, but he didn't really do anything to garner himself being a full-fledged MLB starter. And that's why they got Will Middlebrooks. Will Myers is going to be a wild card as well. I mean, if he can get to where he's supposed to be, he'll be real dangerous. But Jed Jorko is basically Dan Uggla reincarnated. The guy never walks. power numbers are down. You know, they got Derek Norris, another average catcher who hit 250. You know, it's just I don't see much in that offense. You know, honestly, last year I saw them as a more scrappy team than this year. You know, the rotation relies on James Shields being healthy and solid, and then it relies on Andrew Cashner being healthy in general. Cashner just has to be healthy.
Never
he's really
healthy.
Good. He's really good when he's not injured, but he's just got to rely on being not hurt. Tyson Ross is really good. What else are you going to reply?
I was going to say with Derek Norris, I know you brought him up, the acquisition from the Oakland A's. He showed times last year where he was a, you know, above average hitter, but I mean, he's really nothing special. I had him in fantasy last year. He had some good games, but then he had some games where, here you go, 0-4. I think he finished with like a 260 batting average. Just really nothing special, nothing to be excited about.
Yeah, I don't see the team being too, I don't see the team being too much of a threat. But we do agree that they are going to be the bust of the major leagues this year. What do you see out of San Francisco? Because after, you know, looking at their projected lineup and then and their rotation, which I think their rotation is going to be the weak point, but this team is a really scrappy team who, without a doubt, see somehow sneaking that division out and even going to the wild card. You know, and Helpagon, Aoki, Buster Posey, Pelt, Hunter Pence, Joe Panic, Case McGee, you know, led by Baumgartner. How much do you like this Giants team to contend for that division?
I think they'll contend. I have them as my second wild card team out of the NL.
Okay.
I really like the addition of Case McGee and also the addition of Nori Aoki, who's going to be playing in left for them. It's the Giants are always a good team. They're always scrappy, like you said. They'll have Baumgartner on the mound every fifth day, so that always gives them a chance to win. Hunter Pence is Hunter Pence. Buster Posey is Buster Posey. You know what you're going to get out of them guys. Bruce Bochy's a great manager. Really would like to see Brandon Crawford and Joe Panic contribute more. But really like this team. I really like the lineup that they're going to put out. Like I said, I think they'll be wild card. I don't think anybody's really going to give the Dodgers a run for their money. I can see them winning 95-plus games, easily winning the NL West. But Dodgers definitely going to have the chance to defend their title in the playoffs.
Remember, Joe Panic, last year he was a summer call-up, you know, so this is going to be his first full year. He hit 300 throughout the whole year. I really like his talent. So he'll bring some to that team. I mean, that team, they're more of a pitching rotation away from leading that division. You know, behind Baumgartner, you got Tim Hudson, who's old, Matt Cain, TV, those guys are old. And then you're relying on Tim Lincecum to have a bounce back year, and then you have Ryan Vogelsong, who's there for long relief and to be the fill-in guy. Because they didn't leave out possibility of, you know, running a six-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you. The Dodgers, I don't think anyone's going to touch. They are just, they're built to succeed. You know, I have them as winning the division and being the number one overall seed in the whole NL. They have a really well-constructed lineup. You know, they're probably going to have Jimmy Rollins leading off with Carl Crawford. Probably bump Puig down to the three hole, which is what he needs. And then you have some young talent, you know, with the Yasmani Grandal. Jock Pedersen might slip in the lineup if they get Andre Uthier traded, which their talks are doing. Dump that contract, which would be smart to do. And, you know, they always have Juan Uribe, who always seems to produce.
Yeah, definitely a big fan of their lineup. I mean, they lost Matt Campani, Ramirez, D. Gordon, but then they went out and added Jimmy Rollins, Howie Kendrick, went and got Yasmani Grandal at catcher. So they lost a few pieces, but then they went and got a few pieces as well. Great. They had a pretty good offseason, I would say.
Solid rotation as well. Clayton Kershaw, Zach
mm-hmm.
Greinke.
And
those are your top two guys. Yep, they all had sub, I believe. They're all projected to have sub 3 ERAs, so it'll be interesting to see how they do this year. So now we'll move on to the NL Central. And I predict the NL Central to be finished like this. I like how St. Louis puts out their baseball team every year. I do believe the St. Louis Cardinals will win that division, followed by Pittsburgh, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Cincinnati. Roscoe, how do you see the NL Central finishing?
The NL Central, I have St. Louis winning it, Pittsburgh coming in second, the Reds at third, the Cubs at four, and then the Brewers rounding it out in last.
So you have the Cubs finishing fourth. Wow,
yeah.
The Cubbies, not as high as I thought you were going to be.
I went realistically. I'm thinking realistic and not
well, good. No,
egotistical.
This is a big step for you. I'm glad, and we're gonna touch on the Cubs obviously when we get to them. Will you just go into them right now? Do you think it's just gonna be pitching or just too young?
I mean, we all know the team's full of young talent. We know that the talent's there, but we also know that they have a guy by the name of Javier Baez who has the biggest bust potential out of any player. We're looking at a possible lineup of Dexter Fowler, Chris Coughlin, Anthony Rizzo, Starlin Castro, Miguel Montero, Jorge Soler, Javier Baez, and then possibly Chris Bryant. I mean, that team has the potential to be an 85-win team. They also have the potential to be a 75-win team. Realistically, I see them winning 81 games. You know,
I can agree with that completely.
Supposedly, there's debate. Should Chris Bryant be in the lineup on opening day? I'm totally for having him in on opening day. I don't think there's any reason to hold him back and start with Stella or Olt at third for 2 weeks have him in AAA.
Not to interrupt you, I'm hearing they're really high on him. I was high on him when he came up. His stats didn't show it last year. I'm reading that Arzmany Alcantara is going to start again at third base, or he's going to start at second, and Javi's going to be third. What do you think about that, if that was the case?
I don't want to move. If I'm the Cubs, I don't want to move Javier Baez around in the infield. I mean, he already has enough to think about at the plate. I mean, I would say, and I don't think Alcantara has a big enough arm to play third, but I did hear the same thing that you heard with him playing third. I mean, we don't really know with Joe Madden because he fools around with his lineup so much. It's definitely a possibility that Alcantara can start on opening day, but I mean, I don't think he will. I think he's going to be the utility guy where Madden's just going to move him around and center short, second, and just play with him like that.
It's between Baez and Alcantara. I mean, those are the only two positions that need to be filled, honestly, second or third. That's why I'm curious what they're doing. I'm curious if they're just trying to wait and see if one of those guys are going to bust or break out. I mean, what if Baez and Alcantara both come up and do great and you don't have Bryant starting? Then you're forced to trade one of those guys, right? Because what are you going to do with Bryant? You're not just going to let Bryant sit in the minors for another year. You can't do that. It's one of the biggest stages they've had in a while. I mean, this is a team that they've been losing for a good while now, about 10 years longer. They've been losing every year straight. Now they get Big Signe and John Lester opening night Wrigley Field, ESPN, St. Louis Cardinals. Why not put Bryant on that stage? See what he can do at third base. And then you decide, do you want Alcantara playing second? Do you want Baez starting second? I know they have Tommy La Stella, who's going to be a great utility infielder. He's going to be a really good guy to utility, bench guy, Sunday rest spot starter. But they're just going to be, I think they're going to have to be determined who do we start, Alcantara or Baez. And I would probably, on opening night, I would probably start Baez at second, roll out Bryant at third, and see what he can do. Because Alcantara can play the outfield. You know, he can always be a pinch runner. He's quick. And that's what I would do if I was the Cubs. But I just have a gut feeling that he's not going to be up. I have a feeling they're not going to start Bryant opening night, and I think it's a mistake.
Like I said, if it was me, I would have Bryant starting at third, hit and clean up and, you know, mix the order around that.
Like you said, like we discussed, you have Fowler. And Castro did succeed from the four hole last year, correct?
Yeah, he had he was on pace to have a really good year until he had the ankle injury. I think he hit in the 280s last year, maybe 290s. I'm not 100% sure, but he was definitely having a better year hitting in the four hole. But I think there's so many weapons that really you can put, I mean, a bunch of guys in many different places. But I totally agree with you. I think Baez needs to start at second. Alcantara is going to be the utility guy. But I like the moves they're making. This year you're going to see more strides of improvement. You know, you're going to see them improve more and more. These younger guys are going to get more experience, and I think next year will be the definite year that they contend, because there is some question marks in the starting rotation after Lester and Arrieta. That's going to be your 1-2 punch. But after that, you know, you have Kyle Hendricks and Sayoshi Wada.
Thank you.
You know, you're going to have a debate with the fifth starter. Who should it be? Should you give Edwin Jackson another chance? Honestly, I would just cut him and get rid of him. Just screw it. I think, but there's just so many options. And
guaranteed money, though. Baseball, you know, your money's guaranteed. So you cut Edwin Jackson, you still got to pay it. You might as well try to trade him still at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
he won't be in the rotation. He'll be a bullpen guy. He'll be a long relief guy.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to end up being. I think he's going to end up coming out of the bullpen, and Travis Wood's going to start the fifth spot. But, I mean, there's just so many decisions that they have to make throughout spring.
Lester, Arrieta, and then who else? Hamill, Hendricks, and Wada, or Hamill, Hendricks, Wood?
I think it would be... I think to me it has to be Lester, Arrieta, Hamill, Hendricks, Wada.
Yeah, but they just gave Jason Hamill a contract and traded for him. He's going to be starting.
That's what
they
I said.
They traded for him. I think they just gave him a contract.
Yeah, they signed him in free agency.
So he will be in the starting rotation. He didn't get a signed contract to be a rotation guy, which makes me think that they're gonna dump Hendricks or Wada because they're gonna think Hendricks needs more time in the minors, which could be the case.
That because the guy went 7-2 with a sub three ERA last year when he was pitching, and later in the year. But somebody's gonna be the odd man out. If I had to pick the odd man out, it would be Jackson and Wood, because Wood just had a terrible year last year. But it's going to be what's shown in spring that really makes the decision.
All right. Well, a lot to see from them. I do see them finishing around 81 wins. We can agree on that. I do see them contending for I do see them at least stirring the pot a little bit for a wild card. I do see them kind of keeping their nose in it. Because, I mean, 81 and 81, you can flirt with a wild card spot at that point.
They'll definitely be competitive.
What do you like about St. Louis winning that division?
every year it's just St. Louis has the best team in that division. I don't know how they do it or, you know, how they construct the lineup. I mean, this year you're looking at Carpenter, Haywood, Holiday, Matt Adams, Yadier Molina, Johnny Peralta, and Colton Wong. That is a really, really good lineup. I mean, they did lose Shelby Miller, and we all know, rest in peace, Oscar Tavares. He won't be there, who they were very high on. I mean, never count the Cardinals out. I mean, it seems like they just continue and continue to win the NL Central.
Yeah, they it seems like they play the money ball game. You know, all their guys in their lineup usually hold, they all hold an average OBP above 320. They get on base and they move each other over. Matt Carpenter last year scored 100 runs. Hayward scored 90. Holiday scores 80. John Jay scores a lot. John Jay is always this quiet guy who hits 290, 295 at the end of your lineup, and he does great at what he does. Colton Wong, if Colton Wong reaches his potential, you know, he's still a prospect. I think last year's postseason kind of opened the way for him. If he shows up to be who he is supposed to be, and Matt Adams gets healthy, and actually if Yadier Molina stays healthy, you know, this team is can keep contending. You know, Wainwright, Lance Lynn was very good last year. Waka, Carlos Martinez, they still have sitting in the back. You know, they put him in the bullpen last year, but this team is going to contend. Mike Matheny's great at what he does. I definitely see this. You can go.
Who's not to say that either, you know, the Cubs or the Cardinals don't try and trade for Cole Hamels? You know, because...
I don't think the Cardinals will. I think your top choices would possibly be Chicago or Boston. Boston came out today and said they're not. But you just have to look at who has the most prospect.
Like you said, if Alcantara and both Baez come out and do well, you know, you got to get rid of one of them. I think trading one of them for Cole Hamels and fortifying that starting rotation in Chicago would be really nice.
It's all on what Philadelphia would bite on. And they have a really good third base prospect, Michael Franco. So we'd have to see. Do you see, I know we both finished Pittsburgh finishing second. What do you like about Pittsburgh this year? You know, they're always gritty. They're kind of like the Giants in a way. What do you like about Pittsburgh? Do you think they have, what is their weakness, I guess? I'll ask what their weakness is first.
Well, I have them as my other wild card team. I think it's going to be the same wild card teams as last year, Pittsburgh and San Fran. I really like San Fran's lineup. I mean, Pittsburgh's lineup, but their weakness, I would say, is definitely behind the plate and at short. But the young talent in this lineup with Polanco and Harrison and Starlin Marte, and then you have the perennial all-star and Andrew McCutchen, just these guys, you know, they're going to produce. And then you're going to have Corey Hart hitting against lefties, Pedro Alvarez against righties. I mean, their weakness in the lineup is definitely Francisco Cervelli at catcher. So losing Russell Martin is going to be a huge loss for them. We know we knew that coming into this year. They also lost Jason Grilli, but they added A.J. Burnett. I really like their pitching rotation with Gerrit Cole, Francisco Liriano, Charlie Morton. You know, the NL Central is going to be a dogfight. I have four teams at 500 or above. But, I mean, Pittsburgh, I think they just have too much talent, too much young talent, and too much talent in general to not compete for that division and make the wild card.
Yeah, don't forget Jeff Locke, another young guy, and Jameson Taillon, one of the top pitching prospects in the whole Major League Baseball system, is still in AAA Indianapolis with Pittsburgh. He's coming off Tommy John. You know, he comes up, he's ace status. Him, Gerrit Cole, could be a deadly 1-2 punch for the next 2 years. So, you know, never count them out. I do have them finishing second. Just because of what they bring, like you said, they're going to hit lefties really well. Josh Harrison can hit lefties well. McCutcheon, Neil Walker's switch hitter, he can hit lefties pretty decently. Starling Marte, 290 hitter last year. Corey Hart, Jordy Mercer can even hit lefties well. It's really actually all he can do. And Cervelli, again, Cervelli hit lefties at a really good clip. So, I mean, against lefties, this team's going to be really good. And I can see them contending for the division. I can see all the teams contending for a division, but they'll probably give St. Louis the best run, if I had to guess.
Mm-hmm. It's really going to be a dogfight. The NL Central, you know, it's always a great division to watch. I mean, that's the division that I watch the most because, you know, I'm a huge Cubs fan. So I'm always tuning into the NL Central. I'm always up to date. I always know what's going on. But really, like every other year, this is going to be a dogfight. I mean, look at last year. It looked like the Brewers were going to head the division for most of the year and then kind of blew it at the end. But really like the Pirates and the Cardinals. I mean, they're a strong team. I don't really like them because I'm a Cubs fan. But as a contending team to possibly go to the World Series, they're definitely could be favorites.
What do you think about Milwaukee? You had Milwaukee finishing fourth or fifth?
I had Milwaukee finishing fifth because I had the Cubs finishing fourth with the Reds in third.
Third. Okay, then we'll just talk about the Brewers right now. What do you think is going to hold Milwaukee down? Since you have finishing fifth, I'm finishing fourth. What do you think is going to hold them down?
You know, the way this team finished last year, I mean, they don't have much depth. They lost Giovanni Gallardo, which I thought was a key loss for them. I thought he was always a solid pitcher in Milwaukee for them. He had a spark. I mean, looking at their lineup, it doesn't impress me much. I don't see this team being a contender in the NL Central. I think, you know, the Reds are going to have a bounce back year. And, I mean, we saw it at the end of the last year with the Brewers. I mean, they got hot last year during the middle of the year. But, I mean, with the additions that St. Louis, Chicago, and Pittsburgh made, and then, you know, Cincinnati's going to have a chance to get healthy. I mean, this team really didn't do much to hang in with those other teams, so that's why I see them finishing last.
Do you think their rotation's the weakest part? I think it's mainly their rotation. Matt Garza, Kyle Loesch, Willie Peralta, Mike Fiers, Jimmy Nelson. It's not a five guys I want to send out. Mike Fiers is a young guy. He does have a little bit of potential. Willie Peralta's having control issues. I think their top of their rotation is going to be good enough to even...
No, I don't think so either. And you said Mike Fiers has a potential. I think Jimmy Nelson has some quality potential. But
Jimmy Nelson does too. The bottom of their pitching rotation does.
You know, I feel like the bottom of their pitching rotation is stronger than the top of their pitching rotation due to potential and those younger guys. But, I mean, Matt Garza is getting up there in age, and you never know what you're going to get out of him. I mean, Lucroy had a great year last year. I'd like to see him be consistent, do it again, because I'm a big Lucroy fan. When they face lefties, we know Scooter Jeanette's just going to bomb out. So now your two-hole hitter's not getting on. Carlos Gomez may fit, you know, fall off the wagon and do something stupid. I think they have some real holes in the lineup that, you know, they should have shored up over the offseason if they wanted to contend. But definitely, you know, they took a hit in rotation, losing Gallardo and down. I mean, who's going to be their opening day starter, Garza or Loesch? And, I mean, neither one of them would really make me excited to have on the bump on opening day.
Same case with Cincinnati, in my opinion. Their pitching rotation is going to, like, force that team to not contend. Their pitching rotation is projected to be Johnny Cueto, who was outstanding last year. But after Cueto, it was Homer Bailey, who's always just, he always seems to get destroyed. I don't know how his ERA ever stays below four. Mike Leake, Tony Cingrani, who had a horrible sophomore year last year. And then Paul Mahomes, or the blast from the past, Jason Marquis is still alive and pushing it, fighting for that spot over there. And Dylan Axelrod, a relief pitcher who shouldn't get a starting nod. I think Cincinnati is possibly one of the worst pitching rotations in that division. And their offense is led by Billy Hamilton, who can't get on base. I mean, he'll steal 62 bases, and he gets his OBP is around 290. If his OBP was above 340, the guy would steal 80 bases a year. He doesn't get on base a lot. Todd Frazier, Joey Votto, and Devin Mesoraco is going to be if that team contends. And Jay Bruce, Brandon Phillips, and Marlon Byrd have to pray they can get back to who they used to be. So what do you think about Cincinnati? You know, I saw you had them finish in third, which was kind of shocking to me. Why do you think they're going to do well?
The biggest thing with me is if they can stay healthy. If they can stay healthy, I think they can, you know, hang around there and have them finish in third based on them staying healthy. You know, I like the lineup with Hamilton, Frazier, Votto, Mesoraco, Bruce, Byrd, Phillips, Cozart. And, I mean, I really like Johnny Cueto. I'm not hoping, but if they're going to finish, I had them finish in 83 and 79. If they're going to do that, they're going to need, you know, some big-time production from Cingrani and Homer Bailey. They lost Matt Latos, which kind of hurt their starting rotation some more when they didn't need that. But, I mean, then again, if this team does get hurt, they could be the worst team in the division. They only they finished fourth last year, which was three games ahead of the Cubs. I think they had 76 wins. If they get hurt, they'll be looking at that again, and they'll be in the bottom. But, I mean, I'm strictly basing this off a healthy team going into spring training, coming out and, you know, producing a lot of runs. Because, I mean, this lineup does have the potential to produce a lot of runs, has the talent to produce a lot of runs. It's just if they stay healthy.
I don't even see them being much of a success if they are healthy. I don't see it in their rotation. I don't see it in their core, their order. I mean, they have a lot of old guys who I don't know if they can do it.
Even if they were healthy, you don't think that Votto, Frazier, Mesoraco, and then Phillips and Byrd at the bottom?
You got to understand, Brandon Phillips is one of the, in my opinion, he's one of the biggest misconceptions, you know, in the major leagues. I mean, when the guy's healthy, he's not hitting above 300. He gets on base at a decent rate. If I had to guess, I'm going to pull it up for you right now. I mean, he's got a career batting average of 170. He's great with the glove. He's still a defensive mastermind. He'll still save you runs on defense. Jay Bruce is a 230 hitter. He always hits 230. He'll hit you 25 home runs, and so will Phillips. But if they're healthy, they're going to be a better team. But I just think their guys are losing, you know, their old producing numbers. I mean, Brandon Phillips, for example, last year, he hit 260. He only got on base 306 OBP. He wasn't even getting on base that much. You know, when he was healthy, when he was in his prime in 2011, he's hitting 300 and with an OBP of 350. You won't get back to that ever. Same for Jay Bruce. You know, that's why I don't see it. It would be nice. I mean, now Singrani, his rookie year was phenomenal. I don't know what happened to that. If they had Matt Latos, Johnny Cueto, and Tony Singrani at the top of their rotation, and Singrani was back to who he used to be, I could see that team contend a little bit more. Their bullpen isn't all that solid. They have one of the best closers in the majors. That's about it. So I guess that's kind of why I don't see them really contending in this division.
I can agree with that. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, going into this year, I feel like they're going to want to have a bounce back year. I think they're going to have a little fire underneath them to bounce back. But I definitely can see where you're coming from with the lack of rotation. But we definitely agree that the Cardinals and Pirates are the two teams to beat.
All right. And for the NL, and I did have St. Louis. You know, we both had them win the division. I do have St. Louis finishing as, I think, the 2 seed in that division. I can see them finishing as the second, so not the 2 seed in that division, the 2nd seed in the whole National League. Now, as the NL East is concerned, I see it finishing like this. Washington, Miami, Atlanta, and New York. Just off the top of everyone's heads, I think Washington and Miami are going to be guaranteed 1 and 2. I think New York and Atlanta are going to have a dogfight for a 500 to below 500 record to finish in 3rd or 4th. I don't see either one of them really having a chance to win that division at all. How do you see them at least finishing, Roscoe?
I agree with you at the top. I have Washington and Miami finishing 1 and 2. I have the Mets finishing 3rd, Braves finishing 4th, and I love how the Phillies just fell off the face of the earth. They don't even exist anymore. Them finishing at the bottom.
I don't even write them down.
I mean, they just don't even exist anymore.
If they lose Cole Hamels, I think they could possibly be, and being honest to God, I think they could possibly be one of the, I think they're going to, and I was looking into it earlier, they have a chance to pull in one of the worst records in recent memory. I mean, I know, I think last year, the year before, the Astros went 60-100. I could see this Phillies team winning 40 games at the least. Like, this is a bad Philadelphia team. A really bad Philadelphia team. Ben Revere is the only guy I can. Ben Revere and Chase Utley, I respect because they're ball players. Freddie Galvis doesn't do much for you. Ryan Howard is old. He's going to hit 230. Dominic Brown is a wash-up. Never saw the potential in him. Darren Ruff, I don't even know who that is. Carlos Ruiz keeps getting suspended. And Cody Ashe. I don't see that lineup winning 40, 50 games. Not to mention that their rotation is going to include Jerome Williams and Big Daddy Aaron Harang.
Big Daddy.
Aaron Harang. Who had a great year last year with the Braves, coincidentally. A random year, but that's not going to happen again. But the average Aaron Harang fastball is at 87 miles per hour, if no one knows. But, Cliff Lee is going to have injury problems. I love Cliff Lee, but he's having trouble staying healthy. Cole Hamels doesn't want to be there. He's not going to want to pitch there. They're probably going to trade him. So that Philadelphia team, we don't really have to talk much. Do you have anything to add about Philadelphia?
I feel like I was being generous. I gave them 68 wins. But, I mean,
I see them losing 100 games, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, they're bad. They're really bad.
I will say that they will be the worst team in baseball this year. I mean, let's be honest. Half team is old, and half their starters won't be there midway through the year. I mean, they're definitely going to trade Hamels. I can see Hutley being traded. I mean, some AL team may trade for Howard to be in DH, come trade that line just to get a power bat in their lineup. I mean, this team really is going to just change throughout the year through trades. I mean, it's time for them to rebuild. They've been holding on to this group of old players. I mean, Jimmy Rollins is now gone. So who's going to be the next one to go? You know, they will be the worst team in baseball.
What do you like about Washington? I'm really high on their pitching staff. I think they have an overrated lineup, but their pitching staff is really what, to me, shines. What do you like about Washington?
Like you said, their pitching staff. They're going to have five starters deep who can go out every fifth day, give you six, seven innings of great pitching, and even if that lineup doesn't score three runs, you're going to be in the chance to win the game. I mean, they have Gio Gonzalez, Max Scherzer, Justin Zimmerman, Steven Strasburg, and Doug Fister. Right? That's their starting five.
It's a great rotation.
And, I mean, that's a great rotation. I mean, their starting lineup is looking like Bernard Spann, Anthony Rendon, Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman, your favorite guy, Ian Desmond, Wilson Ramos, you know, Escobar, and Nate McLaus. Like, I think their lineup is a little overrated. We both have them winning the NL East. I really don't see any team really competing to take that away from them. With that pitching staff, I can see them winning 100 games, like we could see Philadelphia losing 100 games. But, I mean, that pitching staff is just so deep and talented, and they have some quality at-bats in the lineup that, you know, it's a great equation for a playoff team, but I feel like they're the Clippers of baseball. Once they get to the playoffs, they'll choke, and that'll be it.
I can definitely agree with that. I mean, their lineup doesn't excite me too much. I'm really high on Anthony Rendon. He's a great young talent. Bryce Harper fades in and out of stardom. You know, he's got bits and pieces where he thinks he can hit 300 and hit 25 home runs, and he's looking like he's going to be a real star, and then he just goes through a big-time just a cold streak where he just can't hit anything, and then he gets injured a lot. So he's always a question mark, in my opinion, still. They're going to have to move Ryan Zimmerman to first. Desmond's a very overrated 260 hitter at the best. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't see much from them on the offensive end. I think their pitching staff is going to win them games. Strasburg, Scherzer, and Zimmerman could be each of them could be a number one on any team, in my opinion. Doug Fister's great end of the rotation guy, and so is Gio. Now, Miami is a team I'm excited for, even though as a Braves fan I'm not accustomed to liking them because they are in my division, but they are my sleeper team. The Miami Marlins, this team is going to be fun to watch, and they're going to have the potential to do something. I actually do have them as my first wild card team because I do believe in this team. You're looking at a lineup of D. Gordon, who I do think is a little overrated. If he can get his walks up, then he'll be a much better player. But he's got a big field to play with. You know, he'll be leading off behind or in front of Christian Yelich, one of the most underrated players in baseball. This guy's going to give you 158 games played, 90 runs scored. He's going to steal 20 bases. He's going to hit 285. He's going to get on base at a 370 average. He's a really solid two-hole hitter. Plus, you put them in front of Giancarlo Stanton, enough said. Michael Moore's playing first base. He's going to give you 20 home runs. Marcelo Zuna, Martin Prado, going to hit 280. Prado is just a purebred hitter. Salt LaMacchia is your weak point lineup, and then a Danny Hechavarria, who's great glove, needs to work on his hitting a little bit. He's kind of like an Andrelton Simmons clone, except Andrelton's got a better glove. So if that lineup can figure it out together, that is going to be a scary team. Their pitching is going to be awesome when Jose Fernandez is back, Matt Latos, Henderson Alvarez, who is one of the quietest phenomenal pitchers in the major leagues. No one talks about him. His fantasy value is at like $3. But the last 2 years, he's put up an ERA below 3.20. That's ridiculous. Jared Cozart, if he can put things together, the guy averages a 94-mile-an-hour fastball. He throws the ball really well. No Astros fans miss him. And then you have a good veteran guy, Dan Haren, and then Tom Kohler and David Phelps to choose from. Kohler had a lot of success in New Orleans last year in the minors. He did really well over there, and he struggled a little bit in the show, you know, but I think he'll get back to where he was in the minors eventually because he's still a young guy. So that lineup and that rotation can be something, especially with Fernandez back. So definitely watch out for Miami. I'm really excited to watch them play.
I agree with you that they're going to be second in the NL East. I just can't see them winning, getting a wild card spot. I mean, I really like where the team's heading, but like the Cubs, I think they're young. I think they'll be a game or two above 500. I really think their season is going to depend on their big-time players bouncing back from injury, Jose Fernandez and Giancarlo Stanton. If they bounce back from their injuries, get to where they were before their injuries, and they get good production from Henderson Alvarez and Matt Latos, they'll exceed my expectations. Give the Nationals a run for that money, and then, you know, they'll get the wild card. But that's if they exceed my expectations. I like their lineup. They're young. I mean, we could possibly see them and the Cubs in the NLCS in a year or two, which would be a great NLCS, in my opinion, to watch with the young guys. But I think they're just too young at the moment. But, I mean, they have the potential to win games. I think it's going to be on Giancarlo Stanton and Jose Fernandez to bounce back. If they bounce back, the Marlins are really looking good. It's going to be very exciting baseball in Miami. It's going to be fun to watch, you know. Maybe that big new ballpark can finally get some good baseball in it.
I agree. You know, it's one of the biggest and the toughest things to overcome in baseball is being so young and getting adjusted to the game. Now, Atlanta, New York, is those two teams are just going to be confusion for me because New York is faced with the possibility of a great rotation in a few years. To sit here and say that Syndergaard is going to come out next year and be great, there's no way to say that as a possibility. The reason I have New York finishing fourth is simply because of pitching, as Atlanta has the second-best pitching rotation in the NL East, and they honestly have one of the top rotations, the top 10 rotation in the league. And that's the truth, because you got to think about the rotation the Braves are throwing out here. They're throwing out Julio Teheran, who had a 2.89 ERA last year, Alex Wood, who had a 3.11, I believe. They're both 24 years old. Shelby Miller, who we talked about, could be a bounce-back guy. In his prime, he was around 3.15, 2.89. And then you have a guy in Mike Minor, who, if he does bounce back, could be huge. And then you're looking for a fifth rotation guy, which is going to come between Mike Fultonevich, Wandy Rodriguez, who's still pushing hard somehow, and who's the fifth guy? And Eric Stoltz, even though I don't think Eric Stoltz is going to make the rotation. But that lineup is going to be full of on-base guys. They're looking at start the year with Markakis, starting off the year, leading off with Markakis every year. Career 285 hitter, 90 runs scored, OBP of 350s. Freddie Freeman hits third. BJ Upton probably hitting, hitting lower in the lineup. They're probably going to hit Alberto Callaspo. So the lineup's going to be a little shaky. I eventually do see Jose Perez getting his chance, and he's going to steal you 20 bases plus. So I see them being a scrappy young team, and I see them winning a whole hell of a lot of games, 3-1, 3-2, 2-1, 2-0, 1-0, just because of their rotation. The thing about the Mets have a better offense than Atlanta, but it's just their pitching. Matt Harvey was incredible. You know, last time he was in a game was a year ago. It was over a year ago, actually. So that makes me nervous. He missed an entire year. Potentially could have came back last year. He didn't. And if Matt Harvey flops, then who do you have? You have Bartolo Colon, who's not reliable. Jonathan Neese, who's not reliable. Zach Wheeler, who's had all the control issues in the world. I mean, you look at those guys alone. Those Zach Wheeler, Jonathan Neese, and Bartolo Colon, their combined WHIP is around 224, 225, which is not very solid. You know, Matt Harvey's, when he was healthy, was right at a 1. And then you look at Jacob DeGrom, who's going to be a bright spot. Possibly Dylan G. Dylan G showed some signs of strength, but, you know, he's not proven yet. So I think they got a really young rotation, and their bullpen is not very good at all either. They don't even have a closer yet. I just think their pitching is going to be a struggle for them. Plus, look at the bottom of the lineup in New York, and it's just they can't hit. You know, Travis DiArno last year hit 240. Curtis Granderson hit 220. Wilmer Flores, not a reliable shortstop. Juan Lagares, I like Juan Lagares against lefties. He didn't really hit righties too well. So, you know, they're going to rely on Daniel Murphy, Michael Kadire, David Wright, and Lucas Duda. That's their offense, and they have to roll with that. Just like the Braves are going to rely on their core three guys, but the Braves have the pitching to back it up. So that's why I have them two separated. I know I just talked a lot, Roscoe, but do you want to elaborate on those two teams or much to add, anything to add?
I think the Mets are going to finish above the Braves. I think the Mets rotation, even though they're young, I like DeGrom a lot. I think Matt Harvey, he was too good not to bounce back. You know, DeGrom, Harvey, you can say what you want about Bartolo not being reliable, but he's pretty reliable.
Bartolo's not
been doing
reliable
it for so long. I mean, Dylan G, I like. Syndergaard may get, I mean, Syndergaard will be in the majors at some point this year. We know this.
I agree. Yeah.
So once he gets up there, that's going to help that rotation out a lot. I like Syndergaard a lot. Thought he would have got a call-up last year towards the end of the year. But, I mean, this lineup, Juan Lagares, Daniel Murphy, David Wright, Lucas Duda, Michael Kadire, Curtis Granderson, I think they can produce some runs. I like those first six guys, but like you said, they do have issues with Travis d'Arno. Too shrieky, you know. At times he looked all right, and then at times he just looked downright pitiful. I mean, and Wilmer Flores is just there for the glove. I mean, he can't hit worth a crap, let's be honest. He's like Scooter Jeanette, but from both sides of the plate. So, I mean, they had their issues, but I think every team has their issues. I don't really see much from the Braves lineup besides Freddie and Markakis. Supposedly, Andrelton may be hitting high as his sixth. I'm not sold on his bat yet. I love his glove.
Not either.
Best defender in baseball. That's by far. He's got the best glove in baseball. But, I mean, B.J. Upton.
It's Melvin Upton, I think. We have to call him Melvin.
We're going to have to correct ourselves. He is going by Melvin Upton Jr. this year. There is no B.J. Upton. It's Melvin Upton Jr. I know you're big on Christian Bethencourt. What is he going to start this year? Is he going to be on the opening day roster, or is it going to be AJ Pruszynski?
He's guaranteed to be on the opening day roster. It's just they're going to platoon him because AJ can hit lefties, and Bethencourt hits lefties really well. So that's
okay.
What I think we're going to see out of it.
And, Kiaspo is a question mark for me. You know, last year he put up some good numbers in Oakland, but then he had an injury issue almost every other week. So they have questionable spots in the lineup. I do like their rotation with Tehran and Alex Wood, Mike Minor. I would have loved to see them keep Chris Medlin. I'm a Chris Medlin fan, thanks to you. You know, you're the big Braves fan. You know what Chris Medlin does. But losing Hayward and Hupton's really going to hurt that lineup. That's why I have the Mets at 3 and the Braves at 4. Both teams, I believe, will be under 500. However, it won't surprise me if the Mets do finish maybe a game or two above 500.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it in the back end of their lineup, but I don't see it in their rotation. It's going to depend on how they stay healthy, especially coming back from a Tommy John. We do have a caller that we'll see if they have any opinion or anything. That caller on the air, if you can hear us, would you like to put in any input?
Yeah, it's a long time. Nats fan here. Just wondering what you guys project. Michael Jordan, how many home runs do you think he's... how many home runs?
Huh. Michael Jordan? Not too many. How many home runs do you think Michael Jordan's going to hit?
23.
23?
Yeah, with the Birmingham Barons.
I think 64.
Career year.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. But I just don't see it out of New York. Not this year, at least. Their rotation has to be built more steadily. Dillon G did do well at parts of last year. I mean, if you have a healthy Dillon G doing well with a healthy Jacob deGrom who keeps it up. Because remember, this is only Jacob deGrom's second year. I mean, he could come out and flop. We don't know. I don't think he will, but he could. So you have to watch out. And then you got to remember, I mean, there's one guy who's standing in Jacob deGrom's way, and that's Melvin Upton. Because Melvin Upton can hit Jacob deGrom really well.
He's about the only person he can hit.
Which, I don't know if you guys... I have to find out the report, but I believe Melvin is like I think he's 10 for 13 in his career versus Jacob deGrom. You know, for some unknown reason, Melvin Upton really hits deGrom well, but he hits him something ridiculous, but I just don't see the Mets doing well. I just see the Braves being scrappy. I don't see them doing overly well. I mean, you got to remember, last year they finished under 500. With that lineup that was supposedly amazing, that lineup struggled in general. So you know, I don't
I think
see them getting much
with
worse. 79 than last
wins.
Year. You see, that's what they finished with last year. You know, so I don't.
No, that's what I was saying. I think they finished with that last year. I think this year they'll finish with around 75 to 77 wins.
They're projected to finish with 78, which. It's realistic. I could see it being worse. I could even see it being better. It doesn't surprise me. Like I said, the pitching is proven. That's what gives me more hope than them over the Mets is Alex Wood, Tehran are proven to do well. Miner's proven to do well. And Shelby Miller has proven to do well. Shelby Miller developed his sinker a little bit more. And they have a really good bullpen. I mean, pitching is going to be their backbone. If the Braves can hold get a 2-1 lead head into the 7th-8th inning, I'm confident they can hold it. So they're going to win a lot of small ball games next year. but, you know, it's not much of a debate because we both don't think, you know, the Mets and the Braves aren't going to win the division. And if you don't win the division or make the playoffs, you might as well bat as the Phillies. You know, I'm being honest. I mean, you know, if you're not going to be a playoff team, which neither of them are, it's almost like a pointless conversation.
It's not fun to be as bad as the Phillies for the fans, though. It's not fun losing 68 games or having 100 losses.
You can debate that. Maybe it is fun.
You can ask Astros fans. It's not that fun.
Well, I heard most
Astros
fans.
It's not fun being a Cubs. It's not fun being a Cubs fan and then losing 70. I mean, only winning 73 games.
I mean, most Astros fans are colorblind, so they don't know the difference anyway. But you know. And I do finish. I do see Washington finishing third. And with the Miami thing, they're going to be young, but they got some veteran leadership in that lineup to help them this year. So don't sleep on them, Roscoe. I'll remind you of that later in the year.
I'm not sleeping on them. I have them finishing above 500.
I can see them finish. I can see them possibly being better than.
And like I said, if they exceed my expectations, I can see them winning the wild card. So I'm not sleeping on them. I just think that the Pirates are a better team.
I'm right, you're wrong, Roscoe. That's where we end this conversation then.
We'll see at the end of the year.
Very surprised, though, about your Cubs prediction. I almost feel like I expect the Cubs to do a little bit more than you might.
Trust me, I expect the Cubs to win the World Series every year. But when it comes to the show and I got to be realistic, I'll be realistic. They're not going to – I mean, they can make the playoffs. They can win the wild card. But then again,
well, what
they
happens,
can't.
What happens if Baez comes out and produces like he did in the minors with Chris Bryant producing? I mean –
If that happens, I mean, yeah, they're a playoff team. But
okay. As
the old saying goes, if my aunt had, she would be.
You're right, man. That's one of the best sayings they have. But
then again, if Baez hits 189.
It's just possible.
You know?
Which
and if
is
he
possible,
has the dreads like Manny, then I'm really going to
have a fit
on opening day.
Yeah, I really hope he doesn't. Hope that isn't his look. Hope it for this year. I really hope it's not what he's going for.
Me.
Do you see, top of your head, do you see any managers having their job on the line this year? I can think of one. That's
who
it,
would you
in
say?
In the NL, at least. Freddy Gonzalez in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see that, but, I mean, coming with the new ownership and the moves they've made, I don't think you can really put him on the hot seat. But he has been on the hot seat in recent years, so I could see that.
He's got one guy giving his vote of approval, and that's Bobby Cox, and I think that's all he needs.
In Atlanta, yeah, that is all you need.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to end the show on Bleed Cubby Blue.
Why is that?
Just Bleed Cubby Blue, always.
No child lovable loses till you die.
You know, I mean, what's better, bleeding cubby blue or repping 2015 orange?
Bleeding cubby blue, no doubt. Because repping 2015 orange can get salty at times. By the way, I know there's Saints fans out there, and they're I mean, there is some football news. Reggie Bush, would you want
Russell,
him to come back?
Really?
To
are you trying to rile? Are you trying to rile me up? No. Next question. Do you have another question? No. My answer is no. I don't want Reggie Bush back in New Orleans.
Hey, I'm just trying to, you know.
You're trying to
keep it going.
Off. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying. Like, I don't, like, anyone who thinks Reggie Bush should be back in New Orleans should call in right now and have a talk. Because Reggie does not fit in the system. Everyone, oh, yeah, the city and the hurricane and all that BS. I do not want him here. We do not need him. He can't stay healthy. He runs in circles. And he's old.
All right, next question.
I can see him repping. I can see him wearing 2015 orange. Just like Josh.
Quit, you're making me nauseous.
And if your next question is, do I like Junior Gallette? The answer is no.
No. It's more football talk, actually. Just trying to cover some things. You're a GM in Oakland. You got the number 4 pick. Kevin White, Amari Cooper. Who are you taking your pick on?
Amari Cooper.
All right.
He's a better route runner, better hands. Kevin White might be a little bit faster, but I'd rather like Amari. He looks more NFL ready. And with Derek Carr, you know, why not surround him with NFL ready guys? And you let Darren McFadden walk. If you're in Oakland, you let Darren McFadden walk. You build around Latavius Murray. You build an O line late in the draft. And re-sign your defense. Sorry, we just did some Raiders talk, but, I mean, who finishes with the better record next year, Oakland or Cleveland?
Oakland.
Good choice, Roscoe. I think you've fallen off the deep end. Have you given up?
On Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it up.
You've given up? Why are you so
You've heard
so
it here
crying?
First, guys. I've given up. It takes one move in a draft, and I am officially done. I will burn every Browns apparel that I own.
Well,
and
I will invite
everybody to my house. I will invite everybody to my house, hand out lighters, and y'all can help me.
Roscoe, you can't talk about arson on a radio show.
It's my property.
You still can't burn. Like, I can't burn down my house, even if it's my house. Just because it's my property, I think that's some kind of arson charge.
For burning a jersey?
I don't know. The same thing.
So everybody in Cleveland got tickets for burning their LeBron jerseys. Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, Roscoe. So one move in the draft, you give up. You didn't give up yet.
There's one move that will... It will be the last straw.
Or two, because they have two first-round picks.
Quit. Because they won't have two
Quit.
First picks if they make this move.
What move?
If they trade up and draft Marcus Mariota...
Who said they're going to trade up and draft Marcus Mariota?
I'm saying if they do it.
I'm trying to get him on the deep end.
You're saying
if they do it. I mean,
supposedly he's working out with a new QB.
He's working out with the Browns QB coach?
Yeah, supposedly. You know.
That's good to look forward to.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
Better than Jameis. What if they draft Jameis?
Oh, Jesus, you want me to...
Which, we can talk about that, since it's still going on. What did you think of Jameis's combine showing on Saturday? Realistically, honestly. Because I honestly don't like the guy, but I'll say he did better than I thought he was going to do. I mean, did you see Blake Sims throw the ball? Did you see Blake Sims' combine showing?
I know he ran
know
a third fastest 40.
Of course
but
he did.
Come on, as an Alabama fan and as a football fan, and as a guy who watches sports and, you know, really pays attention to it, there was no way that he was ever going to be a quarterback in the NFL.
What?
There was no shot.
Who starts an NFL game at quarterback first, Jameis Winston or A.J. McCarron?
Is that, Jameis, obviously, he's going to get drafted number one. Who will have more success, A.J. McCarron?
You think A.J. McCarron's going to have more success than Jameis?
A.J. McCarron will take over the Bengals and lead them to their first playoff game in how many ever years?
First playoff game or win?
First playoff win.
How long do you
mark
think
it down.
AJ starts?
Write it down.
Mark it down? I don't think he'll
mark
be
it down.
Andy
I
Dalton.
I want you to write this
Andy,
down.
Andy, write this down. Okay. What do I get if
write this down.
They don't? What do I get when he doesn't do it?
We'll figure that out when it happens.
All right. What do you think about Josh Hamilton relapsing?
You know, that's really sad because I am a Hamilton supporter, and, you know, for him to relapse and get back on the cocaine and the alcohol again is just, it's bad. I mean, because what a comeback story he was when he did come back. You know,
can't lay off the drugs.
He hasn't been productive like he was, but, I mean, for him to relapse and then get back on it, it's really sad.
Well, as Rick James once said, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I mean, if that's what Rick James said, I'll take his word for it.
Take Rick James's word.
Of course.
Before we go, guys, Roscoe, any sports events to watch this weekend besides Wichita State, Northern Iowa? Which Stephen A. Smith is going to be covering? Isn't that amazing? Stephen A. Smith will be covering that game. Any good games to watch this weekend, Roscoe?
Not really. This seems like a pretty lackluster college basketball weekend.
So just stick to Wichita and Northern Iowa?
Yeah, that would be the game I'll watch. That would be the must-watch game of the week.
Okay, now, you got to remember this. I believe, yeah, this Sunday at 12 o'clock, it's the Spring Cup Series in Atlanta. Who you got in that?
Joey Logano, man. Go Joey. No.
Joey Logano's going to go 2-for-2? Wow.
No, I don't know. Last Sunday was a fluke. I won't be watching NASCAR this Sunday.
Okay, if you won't be watching it, then I'm sorry to ask.
There will be some NBA basketball during the day, so I will be paying attention to that.
All right, sounds good. Well, next Tuesday, we will be covering the American League, and then next Thursday, we'll be covering the playoffs, who we think is going to win it all, and who's going to, you know, individual awards, player-wise, who's going to win the MVP, Cy Young, Reliever of the Year award, everything. And that, Derrick Rose might hurt himself again by that time. That'll be another topic of conversation. Anything else to add, Roscoe, to this wonderful show?
Is it time to give up on D. Rose?
Is it time to give up on D. Rose? I don't know, because his injuries aren't, like, they're not injuries that are, like, injuries that he can, I guess, not prevent. I mean, can you not prevent meniscus tears? You know, I almost feel like the guy just has the worst luck in the world. Maybe just for the sole reason of his injuries, I would try to get him in a cheaper contract. I mean, I wouldn't give the guy some max big contract, but right now you can't give up on him. I mean, he's not hurting himself on purpose or Maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the thing. But
he's missed 75% of the games in the last three seasons.
Yeah, but they're all meniscus tears, Roscoe. He tore his ACL and he tore his meniscus twice. You don't purposefully tear your meniscus. Like that's not something. I mean, I know some people believe that you can play through meniscus and ACL tears and stuff, but you just can't.
Adrenaline.
It's adrenaline. It is. You know, when you realize that you have three more months in the year, you can just keep the adrenaline stays in you for 3 months, 90 straight days. And you overdose potentially, but you know it's meniscus tears, Roscoe. I mean, would you give up on him? Because I mean, it's meniscus tears. So I'm gonna keep telling that to you. It's not like this guy is doing something wrong.
You're asking me if I give up on him?
Yeah, would you give up on him?
Yeah, I'm done with him.
Why are you done with him? Because he keeps accidentally tearing
his meniscus. If he's continuously had these meniscus and ACL tears for 3 to 4 years in a row, obviously his knees aren't good. So why are you going to keep taking a risk for him to miss half a season or a whole season with a meniscus tear? I know he's not doing it on purpose, but shouldn't that be even more of a red flag that he's not getting hurt on purpose?
No, it shouldn't be more of a red flag that he's not getting hurt on purpose. If I had a guy on my team who kept hurting himself on purpose, I'd send him to the hospital, like the psychiatric ward or something. Is that what you're trying to say? Like, I don't really get what you're trying to say.
What I'm trying to say is, if he's always getting hurt, it's time to cut ties and get a guy who's actually healthy and will play. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like George Hill.
Like George Hill, exactly.
Like George Hill. What if Paul George snapped his leg in half in his first game back? Would you blame Paul George?
Yeah.
Maybe he has bad legs, Roscoe. Oh, you would, because he has bad legs and he can break his leg.
I mean, if a guy continuously gets hurt, Andrew, like, why shouldn't you be like, all right, maybe it's time to part ways with him, you know, he's always getting hurt. Obviously, he's not.
He tore his meniscus in his right leg, and then he tore. And last year was in his right, but then he had an ACL injury in his left leg. It's not like he's weaker than everyone else. I mean, the guy's still passing physicals, can still get up there like an athletic freak. I mean, like I said, if Paul George breaks his leg, how are you going to blame Paul George? This guy keeps breaking his leg. He must have a. Must have been born with some weak bones. He should drink some milk or something. Like, I don't, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't think the dude has weak knees just because his meniscus keeps tearing. Like, Chris Medlin. Should teams give up on Chris Medlin? He's already had three Tommy John surgeries, Roscoe. Should Chris Medlin have a job?
I guess you're right on that one, but, I mean... All I'm trying to say is maybe the Bulls should part ways with him. If it's season after season after season with something with his knee and he's injury prone, I'm just saying maybe it is time to part ways with him.
Definitely up for debate.
Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I mean, in certain situations, I guess, like, do you part ways with someone like Royce Young? I mean, Royce White, whatever his name was, dude was afraid of airplanes and had mental disability problems.
Highway 30?
Yeah, Highway 30. The team did part ways with him. Exactly, they parted ways with him because he's crazy. And like you said, it's more of a red flag that he's not hurting himself on purpose. I don't know what you're trying to say by that.
What I'm trying to say is that he's injury prone, and I don't think they should continue to pay a guy that much money if he is injury prone. That's all I'm trying to say.
Anything else, Roscoe? We'd love to throw into the pot of discussion.
I think we covered a good bit of things.
Covered Derrick Rose. We covered 2015 Orange.
Junior Gillette, Royce White.
You insisted on bringing up 2015 Orange.
2015 Orange is a great color. Reminds me of Bowling Green, and they're a good football team. But,
I'm right. Just ready for the Horny Juice highlight tape.
The Horny Juice highlight tape. Okay. Me too. Maybe if Reggie Bush gets back, then Darren Sharper can go hit the clubs.
Maybe so.
All right, well, be sure to give us a follow on Twitter, you guys. Check the podcast on iTunes. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday. Thanks for listening, and thanks for that one caller who wanted to listen about Michael Jordan. Thank you, guys.